Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1770, Stokely Materials LLC.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a 53.32 acre bar pit expansion to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 94.89 acres more or less, lying west of Road 317 and east of Road 318. On March 16th, the commission received an spiral-bound exhibit booklet on behalf of this application. It contains a plan of the property showing the buffer from adjacent properties, photograph of the entrance, letters of support, and a map showing nearby supporters, a report of Duffield Associates, a plan demonstrating the groundwater drainage, a DLDOT letter of February 12th, information, and a DVD on the Brigade White Nose backup alarms to be used on all vehicles, mineral demands per U.S. citizen report, proposed findings of facts, and proposed conditions of approval for consideration by the commission and giving consideration of this application. That is a part of the record and has been a part of the record. For the benefit of the commission, I'm passing down a larger set of drawings, basically the same as the one in the booklet, in case you want to get something more up to scale. From the Department of Transportation, we received a support facilities report. The support facilities report makes reference to Cedar Lane and Peterkin Road. Traffic impact study was not recommended. In reference to Cedar Lane, the present level of service is level of service C and will not change as a result of this application. In reference to Peterkins Road, the present level of service, level of service A, and could possibly increase to a level of service B. From the County Engineering Department, in the form of a memorandum, and was received today. This site is not located in a county operated and maintained sanitary sewer or water district. It is located in the North Coastal Planning Area. An individual septic system would be proposed. Conformity to the North Coastal Planning Area study would be required. The proposed project is not in an area where the county currently plans to provide sewer service, therefore a concept plan is not required. And that was signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. From the Sussex Conservation District, in the form of a memorandum dated March 9th, we are advised that there are six soil types on this property, that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that the property north border is Gill's Branch. It doesn't make reference whether or not that could be a storm flood hazard area affected. It will not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements. It may be necessary for some on-site drainage improvements, and that there is no tax ditch affected. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial photograph of the site and the adjoining properties, and also a soils map of the same, a map legend, a map unit legend, a selected soils reference to the soil types on the property, and also a report on prime and other important agricultural farmlands. And lastly, I received to date, as of just an hour ago, I double-checked to make sure we had 39 letters in support and no letters in opposition. And they are a part of the record. And that's all I have, gentlemen.
All right, sir, we thank you. Is there anyone here that has an interest in this application tonight?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Mark Dunkel, Barkowski, Gerken, Swayze, 116 West Water Street, Dover. here representing Stokely Materials, and behind me to my right is Mr. Ken Adams, who's president of the company. The company's affiliated with Melvin Joseph Company as well. And everything that Mr. Lank has presented, of course, we agree with, is correct. In your exhibit book, I just wanted to point out in the color, which is the color drawing up here in tab one, it does give a graphic representation of the borrow pit expansion. It also shows the existing pit, and that's really what this application is. Up in the upper left-hand corner, the existing pit is pretty well played out, and this expansion is necessary to excavate more material for sale. The plan also does show the buffers that are required by the extraction ordinance, and all the buffers that we have on here really are in excess of what's required. Moving on to tab two, we gave you a current photograph of the current entrance to the existing facility. This will not change. This entrance will remain the same. Another purpose of giving you this is really just to demonstrate that Mr. Adams runs a really neat, tidy operation, some pleasant landscaping, the fencing, and this is, I believe, Mr. Hughes's house. Mr. Hughes is our next door neighbor who has given a letter of support among many others. This company tries to be as sensitive as they can to the neighbors and intends to keep this quality up. It sort of leads me to our next exhibit, tab three. I understand now we have 39 letters of support. I had last counted 37. A couple of the folks live at the same address, but they're individuals. There's a pullout there at the end of tab three. It's this little map. And so what we just tried to show you is where the folks live that were writing these letters. They're in pretty reasonable proximity to the site. The very first red spot there next to the green on the site, that's Mr. Hughes's house, and there's a little outline of the existing pit. So we wanted to give you that sort of idea. There may be some folks here tonight, I'm not sure, in support. In order to comply, of course, with conditional use ordinance, we have submitted some studies to the Planning Commission. Tab 4 is a study from Duffield Associates, which essentially determined a couple of things. Number one, what's the groundwater flow in the area? Would the expansion of the pit have any negative impact on our neighbors? And the conclusion from that report is no. Management of the site is very important in maintaining water quality and not injuring your neighbors. Mr. Adams already has a plan for geese control, because that's an issue. The geese come in and they sit in the water. So he has that plan. That, along with the conclusion from Duffield that there won't be any runoff that's going to cause a problem from this site, there may be a need for some on-site management, which will be done. I'll skip over some of the technical drawings that are in the back of the report and just draw your attention to tab number 5. And this is the color drawing with the arrows that we've got. And again, this is just a graphic to show you, based upon the geotechnical information in the area on public record, these arrows represent the flow of the groundwater. The groundwater table actually goes down, unconfined aquifer goes down almost 100 feet. So the groundwater basically flows from west to east, from left to right. So any flow from this site will flow that direction. It won't flow down to our closest residential neighbors, which is the Fishhook Mobile Home Park. The blue dot that's on this, and I apologize for not labeling this, kind of wonder what's this blue dot. The blue dot is the wellhead, protected wellhead recharge area for one of the water wells in the mobile home park. And what we're showing you is that our flow from our site does not flow across that wellhead. It comes through these farms and left to right as the arrows show. And we looked into that because I think, as you can probably tell, Mr. Adams sort of reached out to the neighborhood to try to figure out if there were supporters, and also are there any issues. And we understood there might be some questions about, will this affect our wells over in the mobile home park? And so that's why we looked into it. And the conclusion is no. Next, under tab 6, and Mr. Lank's already mentioned this, is the DLDOT review. The conclusion is that there's no traffic impact study required. And, of course, as you understand what DLDOT did, they assumed traffic from this facility if it was developed as a residential neighborhood, which would be over 2,000 trips per day, basically 1,000 vehicles if you go in and out. The facility is, and it's probably a question you might have, this facility is projected to probably have no more than 200, maybe 300 trucks a day, which is, you know, well less than half of the vehicles per day that DLDOT had estimated. So I didn't say that very well. DLDOT is saying 1,000 vehicles per day. That would be 2,000 trips for this property. The actual borrow pit use, and this all depends on demand, 200 to 300 max trucks per day. So that's way less than what the estimate was. And really, again, it depends on demand. The site already has trucks going in and out and has been since it's been a borrow pit. So we don't really expect a tremendous change than what is already out there, although there could be more trucks, and that's why we're saying probably 200 to 300 a day. Again, well below the estimate, or the basically the allowance here from DLDOT. On tab 7, again, and I'll say Mr. Adams is incredibly forward-thinking in how he manages his sites and his equipment. All the vehicles that are stationed on site and all the equipment will have this BBS, what's called a white noise or white sound backup alarm. It doesn't beep. I don't know if you had a chance to review the DVD that's in the packet, but your traditional, and I call it the beep, beep, beep alarm that everybody's familiar with, that used to go by behind my house with the garbage truck at 3 in the morning, none of these vehicles will have that. They have what's called this white sound reversing alarm that, the best I can say, makes a shh, shh, shh sound. But it's directional. If you're in the zone of danger, you will hear it. But if you're not in the zone of danger, you won't. And it's basically safer than the other alarm. When you hear it, everybody looks around. You don't know where it's coming from. Mr. Adams has this on his equipment at Melvin Joseph's site already. It will be installed on equipment on this site. That is, the neighbors are not going to hear the backup alarms, and you're not going to have this beep, beep, beep. Now, the trucks that he doesn't own aren't necessarily going to have this, but more than likely, they won't be backing up on the site. They'll work on that. But again, that's why it's in here. It's an extra, but we think it's a consideration that's a good thing to do. Next on tab 8 is our mineral baby. And what we're really trying to demonstrate here from the Mineral Institute is that people need minerals. They need mining. This is classified as mining. Just for everyday items. And this chart indicates that for every American that's born, you'll need 3.6 million pounds of minerals, metals, and fuels in their lifetime. So there is a need in Delaware and Sussex County for a borrow pit, to have aluminum cans, to have refrigerators, to have cars, basically to have just about anything. We need to have these different minerals. This particular site will probably assist in road construction and other items. So it's definitely a necessary item here in the county, and of course it's a permitted conditional use in this zone, particularly since we're expanding an existing use. So that's why that was in the book. Just to sort of summarize, under tab 9, we have submitted to you proposed findings of fact that this conditional use is for the use of fill dirt that would be used in construction of residential, commercial, and road construction. This site is, a proposed site, is centrally located and will be used, the materials will be used in the county. This is an expansion, proposed expansion of an existing smaller burrow pit that's, you know, pretty much played out. We believe that the record submitted to you to date confirms that this application will not have an adverse impact on nearby properties or public facilities or public highways. And this proposed use will be subject to section 115-172B of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. That's your extractive use provisions, the items in there that we have to comply with, which we will. It is confirmed in the Duffield report there's no storm flood hazard areas will be affected, and there will be not be any necessity for off-site drainage improvements. Of course, this is a semi-public or public character use that will provide a source of fill dirt that would be used in the entire county. And as I've tried to demonstrate here with our exhibits, it's an essential use. It's utilized for the general convenience of the public and will not adversely impact the health, safety, morals, or welfare of the current and future citizens of Sussex County. Tab 10, we have submitted proposed conditions of approval. I'll refrain from reading each and every one of those since I assumed that you've got them and you've read them. But we did want to point out that we're trying to be, again, sensitive to the neighbors, limited the hours of operation. I have to mention the peanut oil. The vehicle or the equipment will not use hydraulic fluid. It will use peanut oil. If it spills, it doesn't hurt anything. So again, Mr. Adams is really, I'll say, thinking green. It's a little overused term, but this is just something that he's going to do. There will be no fuel storage tanks located on this facility. So again, we're trying to keep it neat and clean. I would like, unless you have questions for me, which I'm certainly happy to answer them, ask Mr. Adams to come up because I have to ask him a couple of questions to perfect our legal record, if I could. Mr. Chairman?
Okay.
My name is Ken Adams, 23047 Lakeview Drive, Millsboro, president of Stokely Materials.
And Mr. Adams, for the record, do you agree with everything that I've represented to the Planning Commission tonight?
Yes, I do.
All right. And if you could just tell the planning commissioners briefly what it is you're asking for, this conditional use approval, and why.
Of course, our main business, through the course of business we do, is we provide fill materials for various customers based on demand. A list of our customers would include DelDOT for, say, some of the new stimulus money that's coming out. We provide materials for the shoulders of the road. We provide sub-base material and just general household customers.
All right. And I think we also have here with us, he doesn't need to come up now, but Steve Smaler from Duffield Associates. We also have Jim Lilly from GMB, who, if there's any questions on the engineering, because I'm just a lawyer and I can't possibly answer those, and you wouldn't believe me anyway if I answered those engineering questions. And you'd be right not to. But we're here to answer any questions you might have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Currently, how many trucks do you have leaving the site?
It varies by demand. It can go anywhere from a couple of loads a day to over 100 currently.
Over 100 trucks?
Yes.
Because I did a quick math, and you were talking about 200 to 300 trucks a day, and if you have 11.5-hour workday like you're proposing, that averages out to 17 to 26 trucks per hour. That's a lot of trucks.
We can load a truck in approximately 3 to 4 minutes, and as demand needs, you know, efficiency calls to load them quickly. It's the same pace that we've shown there in the past, ever since the existence of the pit. As demand needs, we load at that rate.
And are you proposing the use of dredges, or are you going to stay with excavators?
We've only proposed to use excavator at this time.
So you're not proposing use of a dredge?
We have not requested that, no.
Okay. And what would you guess, estimate the weight of your truck is when it's full?
The legal limit for our triaxle trucks is 73,280. Our 10-wheelers, the legal limit is 70,000.
So potentially we could have, and that's full, is that, or is that empty?
That's full. That's Delaware's legal permit for our heavy trucks.
What do your trucks weigh when they're empty?
27,000, roughly, 25 to 27.
So we could have two to 300 trucks with 27,000 pounds, and then 200 to 300 trucks with 70,000 traveling on the road.
Yeah, we would have them all at legal tag limits. Yes. Okay.
What discussions, if any, have you had with DelDOT about road improvements?
We've had no discussions.
Because I'm aware of a similar project that was before the commission 2 years ago, and almost 2 years to the date, where you might even have been the contractor for that one with Mr. Baker. And that one, the applicant agreed to or offered, or somehow the number 50 trucks per day came up. Is that, where would a number like that come from?
I can't speak for Mr. Baker. I was not involved in that.
Okay, I wasn't.
I was aware of that, but I was not directly involved and can't speak for Mr. Baker.
Okay. I just didn't know where that. Yeah, I'm dealing with 50 trucks there and a size that maybe is half the size in terms of number of acres. And now we're looking at 2 to 3. And we recently had last year a bigger operation that was proposing 170 trucks max per day. That's why your 200 to 300 really caught me off by surprise in terms of the volume.
Well, I would tell you, with that in mind, you know, it's an estimate of demand. You asked our, you know, what our current maximum is, and it's around 100. But, you know, to say I'm only going to have 100 trucks a day, you know, is not a reasonable. I'm not sure. I can't say that with certainty. It depends on demand.
Okay. And as I understand, the entrance is only going to be on Cedar Lane?
Yes, sir. Yes.
And will there be any access to Peterkins Road?
No, sir.
So even though as you dig way over towards Peterkins, you're still going to be trucking out that entrance.
Yeah, our phasing plan would have us all the trucks leaving on 318.
Right.
And can you tell me a little more about what the reclamation efforts will be and what the residents of Sussex County would see when you're done, albeit it might be 20 years from now?
Sure. We represent on the map, I believe, is the minimum slope by ordinance, but as far as reclamation, we would submit a plan to soil conservation and they would review and advise us on, you know, what their regulations would be.
But in terms of the buffer from the roads, are we going to be looking at trees, or are we going to be looking at a big dirt hole, or
there would be a planted buffer? Yes, we proposed, I believe, in the application of a planted buffer.
Yeah, if I can, Mr. Johnson, it's kind of hard to see, but there's a dark band around the perimeter of the green, and that's a proposed planted buffer. I think it's 30 feet wide. And then,
according to your proposed condition, the landscape buffer area shall be maintained along the perimeter property line to a distance of 100 feet or greater, as more specifically shown on the plan. Number A under 2.
Like you said, Mr. Right. Dunkel, you should refrain from answering engineering questions.
I stand corrected. The buffer, you're right, is at least 100 feet under the code, but the planted area would be 30 feet wide. So if that's an error in the condition, that we'd like to correct that.
But you wouldn't be opposed to having trees planted along there? We're not talking shrubs or something, but.
Well, we would plant the normal evergreen. I can't think of the species, but, and it would grow eventually, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, not Leland cypress.
They're considered non-native species.
Yeah, native
they're
species.
They're frowned upon by the Department of Agriculture.
We would more than likely choose a native species, yes. To Sussex County.
I can answer that now. Native species.
And you're requesting hours of operation from 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, and 6:30 to noon on Saturdays?
Yes.
Is that what you operate now, or?
Yeah, yes. Okay. We had conversation with Mr. Hughes, our neighbor, and agreed that we would not start before 6:30 for his, you know, to keep from disturbing him.
And when you're done, will this area that this pit, is it going to be fenced in, or is it just going to be an open, you know, when you're finally done and there's, you got your 100-foot landscape buffer, whether it's native trees or not, what's going to be on the other side of the trees?
There would be a berm.
There would be a berm?
Yes.
And then after that, you're going to be a 25 to 40-foot deep hole?
No, sir. There would be a 4-to-1 seeded grass slope. And I believe the natural water table there somewhere is between 6 and 9 feet below the surface. So you would have a gradual slope down to the water surface.
But I understand you're in readings from the hydrologic, preliminary hydrologic evaluation that they were talking about a depth of anywhere from 25 to 40 feet.
The excavation, yes. The bottom of the pit, yes.
The bottom of the pit.
Yes, yes.
So you might have a pit when you're done that still is 30 foot deep.
Yeah, approximately, yes.
Well, you want to fill it in?
Yeah, tree stumps.
Can I add that to the condition list?
Yeah, you'd be glad
no,
to do that.
We'll take care of that for you.
No, they're already grinding the tree stumps. That's becoming a good mulch.
Yes, yes.
Thank you very much.
I think number 9 takes care of it anyway.
Yeah, it does. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Burton?
The present pit that there, what happens to it? Does it, Mr. Johnson mentioned the doing everything when you get done to this pit. What happens to the old?
Our intention with the existing pit, which that's kind of has an aerial overview. You can see the existing one up in the corner. It would be blended into the new pit with the same 4-to-1 slope and seeded slopes.
So the hole becomes one hole, essentially.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And it conforms to everything that you're proposing on the new?
Yes.
New pit? So
yes.
It's already into the thing. What's your timeline on this? How long does it take to do this job?
Again, it's really based on demand and hopefully the economy and some of the governor's stimulus projects that he's letting out would hasten things, but there's, you know, it could be 25 years, it could be 30 years. It depends on just how quickly it would be excavated as customers, you know, demanded the product.
Okay. Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Gordy?
Your existing pit, how long has it been in operation?
It's before me. I believe it was brought up as a conditional use prior, I believe, 92 as a pre-existing, and I believe there was items introduced then that had affidavits prior, like 20 years prior to that.
Yeah. And it's only 6.9 acres or something like that now?
I think it was a 6 with an option to go to 9, which I'm not sure about how that came about.
So you got plenty of room for expansion here for many years, apparently.
Yes.
It was actually approved through the Board of Adjustment under an appeal of the director's decision that it didn't exist.
And I like the idea of the backup.
I'm sorry?
I like the idea of the backup.
Did you get to watch the DVD?
No, but it sounds pretty impressive because I know at nights I can hear beeping noise all night sometimes when people are moving chickens.
If you get a chance to watch that, or if you get to come out and see the operation,
are you complaining about a farm activity?
Yes. That's when it wakes me up.
But actually, we have them on the loader that's there now, and the one at our sand operation. But as as the vehicle backs to you, it's very clear and you can hear it. But as it goes past you, it's no longer audible. And hopefully, it'll knock down on disturbance
the
neighbors.
The ones they have now, you can hear them on clear night.
Yes, you
can hear them a couple miles away. That's a good idea, especially for the neighbors in there.
Yes, absolutely.
That's all the questions I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Smith.
Just one question. Mr. Adams, what is your plan for nuisance geese?
Nuisance geese. If they become a nuisance, there's a product that's, the name escapes me, I believe it's called Goose Away, actually, the maker of it. It's a
DVD on that.
Yeah, online. It's www.gooseaway.
Do you have to be 18 years or older?
Yeah. Actually,
I would advise you not to answer any more questions. go ahead.
But actually, what it is a strobe light. It's a very mild strobe light that annoys the geese that they don't wish to rest. And they won't stay there because it. When they get on the border, when they're in the field, they're there to feed, but when they're in the border, they're there to rest, and it keeps them from resting.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Kenny.
All right, then, Mr. Black.
Just one question. In reference back to the existing pit, you said it will blend in together, so based on your drawing, there would be some change in the drawing to show how the existing would blend in with the new?
Yes, that one portion of slope would not exist. Right.
It would be connected at that point?
Yes.
That's fine. That's all I have.
Cats?
Not really a question, but just a suggestion to the commission. If this were approved, that the proffered landscape buffer, that the site plan include not only an illustration, but also some commitment as to what would be planted and when it would be planted. It's a fairly wide open site, so the landscape buffer could take quite a long time before we see it, unless there's some commitment for a ready implementation of it. So I would suggest that we have that as a condition if you so desire.
Okay. All right then.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask another question?
You may.
Would you have any problem with planting the buffer beginning now rather than waiting until the reclamation?
The only thing that would delay that would be the farmer to...
He's telling, yeah. Currently telling you.
Yes.
So it'll continue to be tilled until you need the dirt.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
No questions, thanks.
I have no questions either, gentlemen. So if you will take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here with interest in your application.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Indeed. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1770, Stokely Materials, LLC? Whoever gets here first. It looks like it's going to be you.
No, it's going to be him.
Well, you're the placeholder then. Okay. Because you got one sneaking up on you.
How do you do?
Fine, sir. And yourself? Could you give us your name, please?
I'm Mr. Briggs.
Hi, Mr. Briggs.
My family and I own a Bishop Mobile Home Park, which is right up to this. And I don't have no objection to the dirt pit. It's a lot better off for us than this town sewer water that they're sprinkling on the ground, because I have high nitrate out there and it's cost me a lot of money to treat it.
All right, sir.
Anything else?
Well, I would be interested in...
Need you to give us your name.
My name is Dora George, and I manage the park.
Okay.
And I would like to propose that they maybe fence areas of it in, especially along where the park property is, if that would be possible.
This is my daughter, Dora George.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anything else?
Have you got any more questions for me?
I don't think so, sir.
Okay,
thank you.
Fine.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. All right, who's next?
Jim Baxter, president of Baxter Farms Incorporated, where land is right across the road from what we're talking about. I don't have a lot of details of engineering, just a little bit of practicality that I've found out the last 85 years. When I was a boy, my dad used to go to this various farm and pick up a load of good clay to put in the chicken house with a wagon of drawn by two mules. So the place has been known to have good packing dirt, if you want to call it, to go anywheres. Later on, we found that when I came back from service, I bought this farm right across from what Mr. Adams is talking about. I didn't find out until 1948 that there's an awful lot of clay underneath of me. We had a rain that it rained in Tarim. I know you folks don't know anything about that. 1948's a long while ago if you're looking back. I think every tractor I had was stuck at least seven times a week. And they fell down clear to the bowl of the... So I found out that it was clay, but it sure enough didn't look like clay. It looked like orange soup of some kind. But it bounced to the fact that this is good clay or good dirt for a fill. And if you look to the east, there's not very many places that you can find a good landfill. You look to the west, it's basically the same. You don't have to go very far toward Gumber and that way. There's no land, no soil there that's fit for packing. And so I feel that our land is all under farmland preservation. We're not interested in building homes on it. And as long as my grandson lives, there won't be any home built on it. I know that, the way he loves to be a farmer. So it's not going to bother us to have this in front of us. I think it'd be a great asset to Sussex County, because every time I see a building built, and maybe I think you folks have seen this also, the topsoil is scraped away and fill dirt is put in its place. It's not sand. It can't be sand. It has to be something that will pack and hold. And this piece of land does that. And I think that if I would say that I encourage you to okay this application, because I think it would be a great thing for them, but a great thing for Sussex County. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Thank you.
That's it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone? Okay, you're just getting up to... Is there anyone else? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1770? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Now, before you leave, because I think there's a few people here that...